Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
So this morning we're reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhyalila chapter 15. The Lord accepts prasadam at the house of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And to my knowledge, we're reading verse 109.
Yes.
109, and we'll carry on, read a number of verses from that point on. Okay. So, Anusanga palekare samsare rakshaya. Chitta akarshi akarai Krishna premodaya. By chanting the holy name of the Lord, one dissolves his entanglement in material activities. After this, one becomes very much attracted to Krishna, and thus dormant love for Krishna is awakened. Oh, Krishna, that is amazing. Let me just read it again. By chanting the holy name of the Lord, one dissolves his entanglement in material activities. After this, one becomes very much attracted to Krishna, and thus dormant love for Krishna is awakened. Yes. So, the next verse, 110. Akrishta krita chetasam sumanasam uchatanam chamhasam achandalam amukaloka sulabhavashyas chamukti shriya yodiksham nacha sakriyam nacha purascharyam managikshate mantro yam rasana sprigeva palati Sri Krishna namatmaka. So, the holy name of Lord Krishna is an attractive feature for many saintly liberal people. It is the annihilator of all sinful reactions and is so powerful that, save for the dumb who cannot chant it, it is readily available to everyone, including the lowest type of man, the chandala. The holy name of Krishna is the controller of the opulence of liberation, and it is identical with Krishna. When a person simply chants the holy name with his tongue, immediate effects are produced. Chanting the holy name does not depend on initiation, pious activities, or the Purushacharya regulative principles generally observed before initiation. The holy name does not wait for any of these activities. It is self-sufficient. And Srila Prabhupada tells us this verse is found in the Padyavali, verse 29. Padyavali is an anthology of verses, a compilation compiled by Srila Rupa Goswami. Ata eva yanra mukhe, eka Krishna nama, seta vaishnava kari, hatanhara saman. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then finally advised, one who is chanting the Hare Krishna mantra is understood to be a Vaishnav. Therefore you should offer all respects to him. Okay. This is nice. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In his Upadesha Amrita verse 5, Srila Rupa Goswami states, Krishneti yasya girisam manasadriyeta dikshastri chet pranatibis chabajantam isham. An advanced devotee should respect a person who has been initiated by a bona fide spiritual master and who is situated on the transcendental platform chanting the holy name with faith and obeisances and following the instructions of the spiritual master. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur comments that serving Vaishnavas is most important for householders. Whether a Vaishnava is properly initiated or not is not a subject for consideration. One may be initiated and yet contaminated by the Mayavad philosophy. But a person who chants the holy name of the Lord offenselessly will not be so contaminated. A properly initiated Vaishnav may be imperfect, but one who chants the holy name of the Lord offenselessly is all perfect. Although he may apparently be a neophyte, he still has to be considered a pure, unalloyed Vaishnav.
Muted
on Hindi Zoom. I did not mute myself, I can assure you. Now I've got to find Hindi Zoom. I did not mute myself. Okay, we are now unmuted. So let me just complete the purport. Although he may apparently be a neophyte, he still has to be considered a pure, unalloyed Vaishnav. It is the duty of the householder to offer respects to such an unalloyed Vaishnav. This is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instruction. Let us say a few words, just some words about this, and then we'll carry on. So I'll just repeat the verse. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then finally advised, one who is chanting the Hare Krishna mantra is understood to be a Vaishnav. Therefore, you should offer all respects to him. So, of course, a point or the point or a prominent point which has been emphasized last week when we chanted we read verse 108 and the extensive purport. So the point was made there, and it's being repeated here, that on a certain level, initiation is not important, particularly for those, or like we're actually talking about those who are capable of chanting inoffensively, without offenses. For people who are capable of doing that, then, well, there's really nothing negative. There are no negative considerations about them. Whereas, as Prabhupada points out in the purport here, a person who is initiated may not be chanting without offenses. That's possible. As we have said on numerous occasions now recently, old habits die hard. And for people who are coming from material life, but now they're trying to be or become devotees, so their progress, it may be something like what could be called a wave form, if you know what I mean. Wave form means up, down, up, down, up, down, like in the sea. You generally don't get the sea just flat. Generally you get the waves up and down. So for many neophyte devotees, their experience in Krishna consciousness, their lives in Krishna consciousness, as something like that. Steadiness. They have not really reached the platform of steadiness. Yeah. So, you know, of course, when a devotee does reach the level of steadiness, then you don't really get that, certainly not so much at all. But when a devotee has reached the platform of chanting without offenses, then they have reached the level of steadiness. Yes. So, even whether they're initiated or not, as we read last Sunday, Srila Prabhupada went to some lengths, referring to Srila Jiva Goswami in quite some detail. How being initiated and having the facilities which are made available, particularly deity worship, when one has become initiated, this is a great facility for anyone in Krishna consciousness. And particularly for the neophytes, it's a very great facility because it helps one become steady. It helps one come to that platform through sadhana, through association, and through deity worship. This helps one come to the platform of steadiness upon which one can chant the holy name of the Lord offenselessly. So, so Prabhupada makes the point here. Someone may chant offenselessly and not be initiated. In this day and age, if you ask me, I think this would be extremely rare, but undoubtedly, at least in the past, there have been cases, there have definitely been cases, whereas now one may be initiated and not be steady and not chant without offenses. One may be in that up and down stage, sometimes influenced by Maya, other times better situated. So even with initiation, that may happen to one. Of course, the ideal situation, very good situation, which is relevant to all of us, is to be initiated and to chant without offenses. And Srila Prabhupada emphasized this a lot. So many times he emphasized being initiated, taking shelter of the spiritual master, and like that. So many times. Means it involves initiation. But then so many times he talked about chanting without offenses. So The combination is the best. Yeah. So even if it's such a person, you know, as we've read quite a bit over the last few sessions about these types of phenomena. And the point was made a few weeks ago that a properly initiated Vaishnav who does chant the holy names offenselessly may be a neophyte, may be relatively new to Krishna consciousness. This is possible. That we read, Prabhupada discussed that. But if it's seen that they do chant offenselessly, then that devotee, even though a neophyte in terms of length of time practicing, such a devotee, Prabhupada says, still has to be considered a pure, unalloyed Vaishnava. And it is the duty of other devotees, Prabhupada particularly mentions here householders, but it's the duty of all devotees to offer respects to such an unalloyed Vaishnava. This is Lord Chaitanya's instruction. So, let's carry on. Verse 112. Kandera Mukunda Dasa Sri Raghunandan Sri Narahari A Mukya Tina Jan. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then turned his attention to three persons, Mukunda Das, Raghunandan, and Sri Narahari, inhabitants of the place called Kanda or Sri Kanda. So discussion about the devotees from Kulia. The discussion about those devotees basically has finished. Kulia, is it Kulia or Kulina? Kulia. Let's just check the location. Satyaraj. Anyway, those devotees. Satyaraj Khan, Gunaraj Khan. These are great devotees from Kulia or Kulina. Anyway, I can't find it. Kulinagram. All right, so that's fine. So now, yes, there's a switch to another group, a different group of devotees. The devotees of Sri Kanda. And there's a number of them. Oh, there's many of them, actually. These places like Kulina, Sri Kanda, and various other places, Kalna. These places were centers of Vaishnav culture, and they still are. Of course, it's all a little generally deteriorated in different ways, but definitely they consider themselves Vaishnavs, and they are following some version of Gaudiya Vaishnavism, which may not be first class, but anyway, it's going on. So such a place was Sri Kanda. And there the Kandavasis, the leaders were Mukunda, his son Raghunandan, and also Narahari. Narahari, for example, when we sing the Gaura Arati song, then a few devotees are mentioned, different devotees are mentioned in that song, and one of them is Narahari. Narahari Adhikari Chamaradulaya. Yes. Sanjaya Mukunda Vasu Ghosh Adigaya. So, yeah. Narahari, also known as Narahari Saka Thakur, he was offering the chamara, and Sanjaya and Mukunda and Vasu Ghosh, they were singing. All right, so let's carry on. This is really quite a classic part of Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's interesting. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then turned his attention to three persons, Mukunda Das, Raghunandan, and Sri Narahari, inhabitants of the place called Kanda. Mukunda Das Yera Puche, Shachira Nandana, Tumi Pita Putra Toma, Sri Raghunanda. Aha. Tumi Pita Putra Toma. You are the father and you are the son. Who is who? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the son of Mother Sachi, next asked Mukunda Das, "You are the father and your son is Raghunandan? Is that so?" Oh yeah, is that so? Kiba Raghunandan Pita Tumi Tara Tanai Nishchaya Kariya Kaha Yauka Samshai. Or is Srila Raghunandan your father and you are his son? Aha. Please let me know the facts so that my doubts will go away. So the fact, I mean, in purely historical terms. Ah, Krishna. The fact is that Mukunda is the father and Raghunandan is the son. And therefore, there's an obvious age difference. You know, like here, I mean, it's just sort of the same as here. You'd expect, you know, if it's less than 20, it can't be less than 20 years practically, maybe 30, 20 to 30 years age difference. And particularly when the son is small, then it's so clear who's the father and who's the son. And at this time, Raghunandan was plus or minus between 8 and 10 years old. So, he's not going to be the father. And Mukunda is, you know, whatever he is, 30 to 40. He's obviously, anyway, you get the idea. It's just plainly obvious. But Lord Chaitanya is presenting himself in this puzzled way. Are you the father and he's the son? Or is, and he says, Srila Raghunandan, means offering special respect, is Srila Raghunandan 8 to 10 years old or so, your father, and are you his son? Please let me know the facts so that my doubts will go away. Mukunda kahe Raghunandan, mora pitahai, amitara putra e, amara nischai. Mukunda replied, Raghunandan is my father, and I am his son. This is my decision. And as we mentioned, chronologically, Mukunda is the father. And he's 30 to 40 years old, and Raghunandan is 8 to 10. So what can you say? But this is what Mukunda says. Ama Sabha Krishna Bhakti Raghunandan Haite Ata eva pita ragu nandan amar nischite. All of us have attained devotion to Krishna due to Raghunanda. Therefore, in my mind, he is my father. Shuni harshe kahe prabhu. Kahile nischoy. Yanha haite Krishna bhakti. Se guru hoy. Hearing Mukunda Das give this proper decision, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu confirmed it, saying, yes, it is correct. One who awakens devotion to Krishna is certainly the spiritual master. So let me just tell you the story. The story is not mentioned here. The story is definitely in Bhakti Ratnakara. Chaitanya Bhagavat, even I'm not sure offhand. But the story is as follows, that Raghunandan was the son, and he's sort of 8 to 10 or so. He's, you know, he's still a small boy, but he's growing up a little bit. He's not just, you know, like a little baby, a little child. So the father, Mukunda, wanted to train him in deity worship. And we know, of course, children that age, if they're nice devotee children and nice devotee families, they often want to do deity worship. This is not unusual. So it's nice for them to be trained in suitable ways. So Raghunandan, he's at that age, and he's very nice devotee child. So Mukunda decided he wanted to train him. So what he did, first thing, he taught him how to offer bhoga, how to offer food to the household deity. It was a deity of Gopinath, Krishna. So Mukunda took him in front of Gopinath and taught him the procedure. First you bring in the plate of bhoga, unoffered food. Sometimes devotees talk about offering prasad, but prasad, you can't really, I mean, you can offer prasad to a devotee, but you can't offer prasad to the deity. You offer bhoga to the deity. Bhoga meaning unoffered food, or literally something for the enjoyment of the deity. So he took him in front of the deity and explained the system. You know, your mother cooks and makes up the plate, the offering plate, with some of the different preparations. And then you take the offering plate, you bring it in here into the temple room, and you put it down in front of Gopinath. You just put the plate down and, you know, take the cloth off, if there's a cloth covering it. And then you bow down and you ring the bell and you chant different mantras. And when you're finished chanting the mantras, you put the bell down, you get up, and you go out. And then after maybe 15 minutes, you come in, you ring the bell again, say a couple of other mantras, and take the prasad, the plate with what is now prasad, out, take it back to your mother. And so he trained him up like that. What's the procedure? What are the mantras? All of this. And he asked Raghunandan, so you're ready now one day? You're ready to do it yourself? Because I've got to go. Mukunda had to go somewhere. So Raghunandan said, right, yeah, I'm ready. I'll have a go. And off went Mukunda. And Mukunda then came back sometime later, means some hours or so later, well after the offering had been finished. So he came in, and there was Raghunandan. And Mukunda asked Raghunandan, so how was it doing the offering? How was it? Did you manage? And Raghunandan said, well, I managed, but it was really difficult. It was so difficult. And Mukunda, you know, understanding, he's just a young boy and it's the first time. He said, oh, really? So what was difficult? Did you forget the procedure? No, I remembered the sequence. Wow, really? Did you forget some of the mantras? No. Then what was difficult? And Mukunda said, Raghunandan said, getting Krishna to eat. It was so difficult. Eventually he did. But wow, what it took. And Mukunda's thinking, what do you mean getting Krishna to eat? But he thought, oh, okay, you know, next time it may be easier. And so Mukunda said, all right, so can I have some prasad then? Some of the Mahaprasad. And Raghunandan said, prasad? What prasad? There's no prasad. And Mukunda said, what? What do you mean there's no prasad? You ate it all? How could you do that? So much. And Raghunandan said, no, Krishna ate it all. And Mukunda just doesn't know what to think. So the next day, he decided, we'll do it again. But this time, I'll tell him I'm going out and, you know, you must do it. But I will sneak around and watch secretly, quietly, from some secret position. So he did that. And sure enough, everything was going on. He comes in with the plate. Raghunandan puts it in front of Gopinath. He bows down, rings the bell, chants the mantras. It's going fine. So now he's finished the mantras. Now you get up and you go out, and you only come back after 15 minutes. But no, Raghunandan didn't do that. He stayed there. He's kneeling down in front of Gopinath. The plate's still there, right in front of the deity. And Mukunda is watching and wondering, what is he doing? You are meant to go out. But then he heard Raghunandan was talking to Gopinath. Krishna, please eat the food. Krishna, please eat the food. And Mukunda is just about to come running in and say, hang on a minute, you know, this is not part of the program. When he saw Raghunandan plead with the deity, Krishna, please eat the food. And Gopinath got down off the altar and started eating off the plate. And Mukunda was just completely, totally astonished, totally beyond astonished. He'd never seen anything like that before. But then, so then he waited, and he came back in after, you know, half an hour or so. And he acted like he didn't know what had happened. So he said to Raghunandan, so, okay, how was it doing the offering today? And Raghunandan said, well, it was a little easier than yesterday, but it was really hard. What was hard? Oh, getting Krishna to eat. Oh, gosh, it was very difficult. And Mukunda just didn't say anything. He understood. This is a very great devotee. He may be my child, but he is a greater devotee than me by far. Krishna never did that for me. So from that time on, his perspective towards Raghunandan, his son, changed. And we read the verses. how Mukunda said, all of us have attained devotion to Krishna due to Raghunandan. Therefore, in my mind, he is my father. Ata eva pita Raghunandan amara nischite. My decision, therefore, is Raghunandan is my father. Which Lord Chaitanya then converts, say guru hoy. That person who awakens your Krishna consciousness is actually your spiritual master. And you know, you've probably heard Prabhupada, there are occasions that they're recorded in the collection of books, etc., in which Prabhupada repeats the fifth verse of Guru Vandan, which we sing at Guru Puja. Chakudan Dila Jay, Janme Janme, Prabhu say, we say. Prabhu meaning master. That person, Chakudan, who opened my eyes, Chakudan gave me eyes, who gave me eyes, Dila Jay, Janme Janme, birth after birth, is my master, spiritual master. But there are places where Srila Prabhupada is repeating that to some group of devotees, and Prabhupada says, Chakudan Dila Jay, Janme Janme, Pita say. That there is, a father. There is some, you know, in spiritual terms, you can overlap the terms, master, spiritual master, and spiritual father. And, you know, of course, generally, master is a more official type of role, but father is a more intimate type of role, and like a closer and even more affectionate type of role that a person plays in the life of their child. So like this, it's understood that the relationship between the spiritual master and the disciple, it's also like a father-son or daughter-son relationship. And therefore Prabhupada, not always, but definitely sometimes, and you know, devotees do that who are spiritual masters, they address disciples, at least sometimes, as their son or their daughter. These things are going on. And the relationship, you know, if the relationship is really being done nicely, then it's not just a master to student type of relationship alone, that sort of educational. Although it is, of course, it's educational, but not just like senior to junior and like that. But it's a very close and affectionate relationship. With, of course, great deference being offered to the spiritual master or spiritual father because of the seniority and the role and the effect that the spiritual master is having in the life of the disciple. So there, yes, there. Let us conclude by, I mean, it's going to go on, all sorts of wonderful things. But let me just conclude by reading one further verse. It's verse 118. Vasudevdat Prabhu. Bhaktira Mahima Prabhu. Kahite Payasuka. Bhaktira Mahima Kahite. Haya Panchamukha. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became very happy just to speak of the glories of his devotees. Indeed, when he spoke of their glories, it was as if he had five faces. Panchamukha, five-faced or five-mouthed. Yeah. Hare Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki. Srila Prabhupada ki.